If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
WGN. Viva Las Vegas. 9:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. You probably saw the news last night, the results of the Nevada caucuses. Bernie Sanders taking a decisive win there last night. Jim Warren is a national political commentator, very well known around the Chicago area, joins us on the telephone. Jim, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, well, it's not actually, they haven't even finished counting. This is sort of a West Coast, kind of Western version of Iowa. They only got about 50% done, but
really,
it was really, really slow, in part allegedly because of their concerns over what happened in Iowa and putting in new procedures to make sure they got it right. But the last count I saw is only about 50% reporting, but it's the drift is pretty darn clear, a giant Sanders victory, and whoever will be able to claim they were in second, and it's premature right now, will have finished a distance, a really distant second.
Yeah, are you surprised at the results?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised that a 78-year-old guy who lost 4 years ago, who had a heart attack 4 or 5 months ago, who is preaching sort of, you know, democratic socialism, has done so amazingly well. And given the way the Democratic Party does delegates for its convention, which is going to be this summer up the road in Milwaukee, everything seems to be going his way right now, with the next primary coming up in South Carolina this week, and then right thereafter the so-called big Super Tuesday, where you've got something like 15 states and territories on that day. And the way the Democrats count, which means if you don't get 15% of the vote in the state or a congressional district, you don't get any delegates, he could be in a really formidable position after Super Tuesday, basically, you know, an even bet, even money bet to win the nomination with a delegate majority.
Yeah, with what many of the commentators were saying last night on some of the national networks, is that if as many candidates stay in the race between now and Super Tuesday, that it virtually assures Bernie Sanders a win, that unless some of them drop out to consolidate votes for the top vote getters, that it seems like it's going to be a sure thing for Bernie Sanders. Do you think that's true?
Well, I don't want to say any sure thing, because who knows what's going to happen. He's 78 years old. One of the big questions looming in the background is, what does this astonishing, record-breaking expenditures by former mayor, New York Mayor Bloomberg, what impact will that have, if any? I mean, you cannot go onto any site. You know, whatever you're looking up, you want to look up a Blackhawks score, whatever you want to look up, you want to look up the weather in Copenhagen, you're going to somehow run into ads for Bloomberg. It's just astonishing. I mean, since November, something like $400 million, that's more money than all the other candidates spent during all of 2019. He's going to spend a whole lot more. You know, sort of to your question, the results in Nevada really did very, very little to make clear who is the alternative to Sanders. I mean, even folks who may have been pundits last night who followed this closely are scratching their head. And unless people drop out this week, and you're talking about a group like a Vice President Biden, former Mayor Pete from South Bend, Senator Warren, Senator Klobuchar, it's unclear who is the supposed centrist alternative to Bernie.
Yeah, but last night, I mean, at least the results that I saw last night, this must have been around 10 or 11 o'clock. So as you're now explaining to me, there very few of the returns are actually in.
Yeah, just 50%.
Yeah, but it was Joe Biden last night, at least anyway, who was in second place. Does that represent a comeback from him?
That's the way you're going to spin it. But you know, if it's like you still lost the game, 8-3 or something like that. You were way, way, way behind, and now comes South Carolina with a heavy African American vote, which supposedly, was his strength going into this whole process. Recent polling there shows a diminishing loyalty among African Americans toward him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And one of the really interesting things I find in the exit polling in Nevada, Dean, is something like 35% of, I think, the voters in Nevada are non-white, which seems to now really augur well for Sanders in South Carolina. And you're going to have greater diversity of that sort on Super Tuesday. But also how a 78-year-old guy from Vermont via Brooklyn won about 66% of the voters under the age of 30.
Even though
he didn't do and isn't doing very well with older voters who are clearly more nervous than younger ones about Sanders' calls for political revolution.
I also saw last night that he's doing very well with Hispanic voters. Seemed to surprise everybody.
Yep, did very well in Nevada. They had a very good ground operation, better than anybody else's. You've got a couple of the Midwest candidates fighting to be sort of the alternative, namely Mayor Pete and Senator Klobuchar of Minnesota, who've done very poorly among African-American voters, which whoever's going to win this Democratic nomination, they really have to have big turnout of African-Americans in a lot of key Midwest cities. And we're talking about, in Milwaukee, in Chicago, in Detroit, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh. They've got to do better than Hillary Clinton did 4 years ago to have a chance against Trump, who you would think, wherever he is this morning, Palm Beach, I don't know where he is salivating over, would think, over the prospect of a Sanders nomination and being able to say, well, I'm for capitalism and he's for socialism or something. It'll be very simple bumper sticker theme, and in which he will try to make a lot of independent voters really nervous. So this is just fascinating. And and then, as I said before, what's going to happen with Bloomberg? Is he going to have any impact? The pundits were all down on his first debate performance in Nevada the other night. He appeared even though he wasn't on the ballot. Now he's got another chance, I think, maybe Tuesday in South Carolina to improve his performance, particularly on subjects like sexual harassment at the workplace that he oversaw at Bloomberg News. That's the question I would love to know. Will this stunning spending have any impact and in any way slow down the momentum that Bernie Sanders clearly has?
And he doesn't actually show up on the ballot until Super Tuesday, is that right?
Right. And that's, would seem to be his, so reports are that one of their plans are to at least somehow stymie Sanders from getting a majority by the time of delegates, by the time they get to Milwaukee and the convention, and somehow have what we've talked about for years and years and years, a contested convention. We always thought it just doesn't happen. But somehow getting to a second ballot and then having some sort of horse trading and people getting all nervous about the Democratic Socialist, and somehow he surfacing as the pragmatic alternative with endless resources to take on the incumbent president.
What do you see as the difference between being what Bernie Sanders labels himself as, a democratic socialist and socialist? Just that word scares people. But what, in terms of, as it relates to Bernie Sanders, what does democratic socialist mean?
Well, you see it in issues like health care, what he thinks. Sort of wants, basically a government-overseen program, wants dramatic change in higher education, underscores the perils of capitalism and the marketplace. There are some very distinct differences between him and your, you know, might say your run-of-the-mill liberal Democrat in the United States Senate. It's a reason. It's not just personality that has made Bernie Sanders over the years kind of a little bit of a persona non grata within that exclusive club of 100 people, but it's also a point of view that it's sort of taking things one step further. And I mean, even just consider the fact that he's just not even coming up with a an estimate of what the health care plan will cost. He just simply, you know, declares that that's the way to go, and that we'll figure that out, and it will be better for everybody. But I think there are some ideological differences, and they're going to be he is going to be a so-called opposition research person's delight if you're in the Trump camp when they start finding all the stuff of both a cranking controversial sort that he has said over the years, going all the way back to his being, you know, young mayor of Burlington, Vermont. So this is absolutely fascinating. And if I'm a professional analyst or consultant, I want to run out to, say, some of the western Chicago suburbs and talk to, for instance, a lot of independent women who liked Barack Obama, voted for him, then did a bit of a 180 and voted for Trump. Then, a couple of years ago, a good many of them then did another 180 and voted out Republican congressmen out in the West Burbs, like Peter Roskam. Those are the folks you want to know where their heads are
right,
at.
Right, right.